The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Effective from 12:01 a.m. Tuesday, December 8, Victoria and New South Wales will be categorised as very low risk. Therefore, travel will be permitted to WA from these states. We will not hesitate to reinstate the hard border if there are outbreaks over east and we get medical advice to do so. Western Australia does remain susceptible to an outbreak given nearly all physical distancing and gathering restrictions have been removed.
Well, that's just a few snippets from Premier Mark McGowan's press conference just a short time ago, announcing the opening of our borders for Christmas. After quarantine requirements since March, families will finally be reunited. But has it come too late for some who've maybe already made other plans and arrangements? And most importantly, are we prepared? December 8th is the day, and I'm keen to hear what our frontline health professionals think. Joining me now is the head of WA's doctors, is the AMA president, Dr. Andrew Miller. Good morning, doctor.
Morning, Jenna. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Right, the date is set. Are your troops behind this opening between Victoria and New South Wales come 12:01 next Tuesday morning?
Well, we are. I think that this is a good decision by the government. It's made on public health ground, mm-hmm. And it refocuses our attention on the fact that the biggest risk is actually in our own hotels already in the CBD. It's not coming in on a domestic flight at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so in a public health sense, it's great that people will be able to get together with their loved ones. That's really important. And it's good for, obviously, people's mental health if their business is doing better. Mm. But we've got to change the way we're living. We're living in a bit of a fantasy land if we look at what's happening with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And even the way that people are behaving in particularly Melbourne, but also Sydney and Canberra, they're just being a lot more careful than we are. Mm-hmm. And we don't want this thing to bite us in a way that means we have to go back to lockdown.
Yeah, absolutely. More than 230 days of zero community transmission of COVID in WA. When do you think we may see a bit of a spike in that, considering the soft border will come into effect in the next week or so?
Well, what's really interesting is that Victoria are going to reopen their hotels to international arrivals with a very different set of security and hygiene arrangements to what they had before, because they don't want to live through another lockdown. Mm. Now, our hotels are not as safe as we'd like them to be, the mm-hmm. people on the front line. Mm-hmm. And so we think that partly this has been because the federal guidelines around all the PPE and so on have been a bit dumb. They mm-hmm. haven't been rigorous enough. And so to prevent particularly spread through the air. Mm. So we want to have a look at what the Victorians bring in with their new hotel regime and encourage the government here and say, look, this is our biggest risk. We're incredibly vulnerable, as the government keeps saying, because everyone here is pretending like COVID never happened, except that they're not going to CUDA yet. But let's get on with making it as safe as we can. So things like the hotels, sewage testing, QR codes, a little bit late, but look, you've got your homework in by the deadline, so mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm. We've all got to get used to wearing QR codes. And where are the masks that we're going to need if we do have an outbreak? Has anyone in the community thought about yet where I'm going to get a mask from? Because they had to wear them in Melbourne,
yeah.
and in country Victoria and in New South Wales and in South Australia. We're going to need them too if we start to get a few cases.
Yeah, absolutely. Rather than toilet paper, maybe focus about, things like masks when we go to the shops this week. In terms of a slight spike in cases when, I'm going to call them foreigners, are welcome back into the Great Republic of West Australia next week. How are the hospitals and, even GPs, are they prepared for what could come?
Well, look, general practitioners, by and large, have taken matters into their own hands. They've given up waiting for the government to ride in on a white horse and help them out. Mm-hmm. So they've gone and got their own gear for the most part. Mm-hmm. The government do have warehouses full of stuff, but we've got no guarantee that it's going to be given to anyone, and it certainly wasn't the first time around. Mm-hmm. So GPs are looking after themselves. And we have permanent telehealth items now, and people know how popular that was when it came in. So telehealth will be a great addition to our flexibility in all of this. Mm. The hospitals are not ready. They're going through the standard state health bureaucracy thing of, well, the committee's decided we'll get some fit-tested masks sometime next year. So our only game here is really lockdown and border control. We can't cope with big numbers of these cases in our hospitals. We don't have the processes and the protections in place there.
Yeah.
But hopefully, far better than needing to use your ICU, hopefully we'll be able to keep the disease out of the community and continue with that successfully.
Yeah, indeed. Now, the Premier outlined what visitors coming from safe states or low-risk states and territories will be experiencing when they enter either by plane or by road next week. They'll be screened, they'll be temperature tested, they'll be COVID tested if required, and they must have their completed G2G declaration paperwork on arrival, which, in case anyone wants to lie, is actually a legal document, so don't try and fib your way out of that. Do you think that that's enough?
Yeah, look, I think it's pretty good. I think it's world-leading as far as a border, a smart control border. We've been calling, as you know, for some months for a smart border, and this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thinking border. So it thinks about whether this particular person presents a risk and then follows them up. I had a meeting last week with the guys that run the contact tracing in WA and who've set that up. And I think even though that system hasn't been tested, we can have some pretty good confidence that those people know what they're doing and that they're in a better state, certainly, than Victoria was at the start of their second wave.
Mm.
So these sort of arrangements, I have no criticism of them, and I think that the government are backed the right horses in that respect. And I think that, there'll be some gaps in the system here and there. People do tell lies. People do have fake IDs. Mm. There are guys who are trying to move a bunch of meth in and out of this state on any given day.
True.
And so there'll be cracks in the system, but I think that this is a reasonable way to proceed, given that we've got to be sustainable. We're going to have to go for another 12 months like this at least, until we have enough people vaccinated to start really relaxing about this horrible disease.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of people that have maybe just arrived from safe zones like New South Wales and Victoria, they may have just started quarantine, and they've been told that they have to stay in their 14-day isolation past the 8th of December. What do you think that the benefit of that would be, considering I think Victoria moves into 32 days of COVID, zero community transmission of COVID today?
Well, we don't know. The trouble with this disease is the incubation period, and we really want to hang on to those ones to see if they have symptoms towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be someone who sits right on the borderline, right? If you arrive at midnight on the night of the Tuesday the 7th, then you're going to have to wait another minute before you can come in. So there's always injustices around big public health measures like this. But you've got to think about it like, well, I'm sitting at a red light and there's no traffic coming. It seems unfair, but, if everyone just starts rolling through the red lights, then before too long, then you end up with an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So in these circumstances, you have sympathy. We've got to make sure no one's being treated harshly. I think that there are people, I'm seeing a lot of stuff on social media and about the harsh conditions of people who are in quarantine, and that's not on. We've got to give them good conditions in quarantine. They should have access to fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
They should have access to clean facilities and mental support and all those kind of things. But some people are going to have a difficult time of it. There's no doubt about that. There'll be some unfairness.
Yeah, indeed. In terms of South Australia, the Premier has said that people that have been fraternising with those in that medium risk zone will not be welcome, and they will have to. They may either be denied or have to isolate. Do you think that's a good move?
Yes, I think that the Victorian one's really interesting if you have a close look at what's happened with this pizza shop there. And we learned a few things out of that. One is don't blame people for having COVID and don't shame them in the media, because what the effect that has is everybody else doesn't want to come forward anymore because they think that same thing might happen to them. Now, that person may well have done the wrong thing and told some untruths, which has led to further problems, but they weren't the only part of the problem, because let's face it, the guy who was working in the hotel who caught it there was also allowed to work in a pizza store at the same time. There's nothing preventing that. That's the government's fault, not the pizza worker's fault. We also learnt that one person caught it just from going and picking up a pizza at the pizza shop. So we have to have respect for this disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's absolutely right to allow the time to run down and just make sure we go through a few 5-day periods, which is the generation cycle of this virus.
Mm.
and stick with this strategy of just keeping really low numbers so that we can continue to enjoy the incredible life that we have, knowing that Christmas is a real risk for us because Christmas is about gathering together and being close to people.
Yeah.
And there's nothing this virus wants more for Christmas than for us to all be real close to each other.
Yeah, indeed. And I guess effective today, that kind of leads me into the fact that effective today, that places of worship will be exempt from the 2 metre rule and they can now hit a 60% capacity. Does that make you nervous?
Yeah, very much so. The thing about places of worship is people like singing.
Yeah.
People will even tolerate me singing, Jenna, if I go to a church.
And me.
I'm not ordered out like I am at most venues. If I start that in a bar, then I'll be out on the street within minutes, which is much safer for the community because it's turned out all around the world. We've seen instances of places of worship, unfortunately, being close gatherings and people singing or speaking loudly, and that's a time when this thing can get up and running in the airspace. And spread by aerosol spread, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we've got to be real careful, and I know that those places will take that responsibility seriously, but I would be thinking that, you know, people need to have their respectful religious observance, and I can understand that, but I reckon God would be patient with the idea of not too much singing this Christmas. I haven't got that officially yet, but once I get that tablet, I'll come down off the mountain
thanks
and
so
spread
much.
It around.
Thanks. When he tweets that to you, when he slides into your DMs, let me know. In terms of just say there are, I feel like the one narrative that hasn't received a lot of airtime throughout this whole COVID period in WA is that there is a large portion of the community, whether they be elderly or immunocompromised, many of them haven't left their house in 8 months purely out of the fear rhetoric that was sort of floating around for a while. What's your message to them, given today's news that things will be opening back up slowly but surely?
Well, look, we love you and we're prepared to undertake the kind of things that we need to do as a community to keep our vulnerable safe. And I think we've demonstrated that. We've been very patient by and large, although there's been chatter about it. But some people have lost their businesses and other people haven't seen family for many months on end. And the reason we've done that is because we want to protect the elderly and the vulnerable. And I think one of the things we can do to demonstrate that to them is have this community conversation about where we're going to get our masks from.
Yeah.
We see a couple of cases starting to spread like we saw in South Australia.
Yep.
What type of mask are we going to access as members of the community and how and where are we going to wear them? Mm-hmm. So I think that would demonstrate to them that we're really taking it seriously, because I think more than the fear of the virus, which is a very real fear that, that vulnerable people have quite justifiably, I think what's been more offensive is this sort of chat is that maybe some people don't matter too much, and maybe does it really matter if the virus spreads through groups that are vulnerable to it? And I think our community has quite rightly completely rejected that argument and said, no, we leave no one behind. That's not the Australian way. We will look after everyone. If you've got cancer, we'll treat it. If you're an elderly person, we'll do our best to keep COVID out of the community to look after you.
Yeah, indeed. You and I have spoken for a number of months about the importance of wearing a mask, and I was speaking to someone that went and did their Christmas shopping at a very packed out shopping centre yesterday on a Monday of all days, but that's a story for a different day. Would you encourage us still, and even more so now, to if we are feeling under the weather or just want to be a little bit precautious, to wear a cloth mask when we go out in crowds?
Absolutely. Well, now that the border's opening, here's the news, right? Mm-hmm. If you're feeling under the weather, you don't go out. Mm-hmm. If you have to go out, you do wear a mask. And if you've got respiratory symptoms, you go get a test.
Yes.
We're back in COVID land now. We're not living in just WA fairyland anymore.
Yeah.
So those are the requirements. And certainly there should be no problem with anyone who wants to wear a mask wearing it. They're being good to other people, they're being good to themselves. And the evidence is that it reduces spread by 30% if people in the community wear masks. And it also gives you a less severe form of the disease if you do happen to catch COVID.
Right.
So even though the risk's not high, I think it would be a good thing for our community to start to get into the habit and just see it as a natural thing. If you see someone on public transport wearing a mask or going to a shopping centre wearing a mask, that's something that should just be an everyday occurrence now.
Yeah, indeed. And especially if you are getting on a plane, whether it's internally or over east, I assume that's the same message too?
Yes, I won't be getting on a plane if I can avoid it till I've had a jab in the arm with one of these promising vaccines that's coming up. But if you have to go somewhere on a plane, that's understandable. But certainly, wear a mask, and it's good for others, good for yourself.
Indeed. Speaking of the vaccine, we're seeing that they're going to be fast-tracked for approval in America in a number of days. What do you make of the vaccine news overnight?
Oh, look, this is fantastic news that there's a number of competing things. I think they'll be looked at very closely. Scientists are raising their eyebrows and people like me are raising our eyebrows around the fact we haven't seen enough yet published in the scientific literature, seen lots of press releases and so on. We'd like to see more criticism of these things in the scientific literature so we can be absolutely sure it's safe, because the one thing we don't want is the population being put off the idea of vaccines. So we're not going to do it like the Russians did and just give it to everyone and see what happens. But what we do need is studies of populations like that to see how they're going. But these are very brilliant scientists with huge amounts of money, and it's happened incredibly quickly, partly because the disease is so widespread, so you can see whether it works quickly. And so I think we can all take some encouragement from this, but we'll be looking at the middle of next year, towards the end of next year, before the general population get it. And that's why it's really important we have sustainable, smart borders. And I think today's news is a step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Australian Medical Association West Australian President Dr. Andrew Miller, it's always such a pleasure talking to you and breaking down all of this hullabaloo for us. Thank you so very much for your time.
Great to be with you, Jenna, and don't forget the Bluey Christmas episode's out now.
And congratulations. How good was their ACRA win overnight? ACTA award win overnight. I'll get that right eventually.
Well, it was a foregone conclusion, Jenna. I'll be surprised if there's not an Academy Award in it for them.
Indeed. Speaking of Bluey, do you think that moving forward the creators should potentially do a COVID episode for the Littlies?
Absolutely, yes. They're calling it the ABC, the Australian Bluey Corporation now, so they could call it the Australian Bluey COVID Communication Network.
Indeed. Well, I look forward to dissecting the Christmas episode when it drops. AMA WA President Dr. Andrew Miller, always such a pleasure to chat to you. You take care.
Thanks. Stay safe out there. Thank you.